Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
McLaurin's abilities, not, you know, force feeding him the ball. I mean, how many conversations have we all had over the last couple of years, whether it was Scott Turner or Eric Bieniemy, whether it was Carson Wentz or Taylor Heinicke or Sam Howell or whatever quarterbacks, you know, were in there. I mean, you've got to get the ball to Terry McLaurin. I mean, I've got friends of mine. One of my favorite people when it comes to talking about this team and following this team is Tim Legler, you know, the NBA analyst. And we have Tim on the show a couple of times a year. He's a massive Washington fan. He comes to every game. And every week from Tim, basically, I don't understand why they're not force-feeding Terry McLaurin. Well, look, part of the reason, and it's definitely a good reason, for Terry not being among statistically the receivers in the league in receptions, total receptions, or even yardage. You know, last year, Terry was, I think, 20th. Here, I'm pulling it up right now because I don't want to get this wrong. In the 23 regular season, and of course it was not a very good season, but Terry was 28th in yardage, and in receptions, he was 24th in the league. In 2022, when they had a better team, and by the way, you could say a more effective offense with Taylor Heinicke and Scott Turner, even though they didn't throw the ball as much, Terry was 25th in receptions and he was 10th in yardage. All right. He's never been anywhere near the touchdown leader, and in part because they just haven't been very good offensively, as we know. But yeah, I mean, even though he gets recognized as a number one receiver and as a good NFL receiver, the statistics really haven't backed it up. You know, he's in the 20s somewhere statistically. And in most of the recent rankings in the last, you know, or lists that we read from, you know, he's somewhere between 18 and 22 on average in the league. So I think the Terry McLaurin conversation, which I feel like we have a half dozen times during the course of a season and even another two to three times during the offseason, it starts with this, okay? Number one is he's a good receiver. Number two is he's a really good culture guy. You know, those two things are givens. And we don't need to think in terms of, oh, he's not very good at all, or they should trade him, or they shouldn't feature him. No, he's a good receiver, and he's really been a phenomenal Washington football team player, Washington Redskin, Washington football team player, and Washington Commander. He really has been. But the quick answer to Seth's email is, I think, probably close enough to the truth. And to the right answer, and that is, he's not the kind of receiver you force feed because of several things. Number one, he's not a take the top off of a defense guy. Number two is, he's a good route runner. He's not an exceptional route runner, meaning that it's not like he's always open. And number three is, there's no attribute to him physically that stands out. He's not big. He's not strong. You know, he's not A.J. Brown. He's not, you know, Jamar Chase. He's not the route runner and speed guy that Justin Jefferson is. He's a good receiver. There's nothing wrong with saying Terry's a good receiver. And on this team in recent years, he's been a number one. And the truth is for at least a third of the teams in the league, Terry would have been a number one guy. And of course, we have said, and I think it's fair to say, well, you know, the problem that we, you know, with Terry and the evaluation of him is it's just not fair because, you know, he hasn't had a quarterback. He hasn't had a coordinator. He's not been on a very good team, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, those things apply a lot of the time. I mean, it's not like, you know, DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett or Smith Njigba or, you know, I'm just trying to think of guys here in recent years. I mean, look, I mean, I think you would have gone into last year not one, you know, wondering whether or not Evans and Godwin had the kind of offense. It's not that every really good receiver can't thrive with an average to subpar, you know, offense quarterback-wise, coordinator-wise. But there is something to that, no doubt. And I would point to Devontae Adams, right? Devontae Adams with Aaron Rodgers was considered to be either the best receiver in the league or certainly top three. Now, his numbers in Vegas have still been pretty damn good, but I think the perception of his numbers and his play has dipped because they just haven't had the quarterback. But, you know, Devontae Adams, an elite receiver in Green Bay, you know, still ended up being targeted in 2022 on that Vegas team that had Derek Carr at quarterback the most number of times in his career. He still had 100 receptions. He still had over 1,500 yards. He still had 14 touchdowns. And in 2023 last year, with Aiden O'Connell, a rookie quarterback for much of the year, he had his second most targets. He had 103 receptions, and he had 1,144 yards. I mean, there are receivers at an elite level that thrive with excellent quarterbacking, but don't dip with average to subpar average, to sub-average quarterbacking. The bottom line is, guys, he's not a receiver you force feed to. And by the way, with a young quarterback who, you know, errs on the side right now of making plays off schedule, making plays with his legs. Most of those plays turn typically into runs. You know, the idea of just force-feeding a guy rather than getting him to go through progressions and throw to the open guy. You know, there are teams and there are systems that have star receivers where it's like, really what we want you to do, quarterback, is we want you to go through your progressions and throw to the correct guy, throw to the guy that's open. You know, a lot of times our best guy takes so much of the coverage that we've got a mismatch somewhere else, and that's the right place to go with the football. The goal is to move the football and to score points. But when you have elite guys, I mean, even Cousins, you know who's Mr. Process-oriented in Minnesota, you know, would talk all the time, I throw to where my reads take me. But the truth is, in recent years, he would put balls up for grabs and give Justin Jefferson, because he's so elite, opportunities to make a play, even though perhaps it was risky sometimes with even double coverage or bracketed coverage. But Terry's a good receiver. He's not an elite receiver. He's right now, two-thirds of the league, certainly half the league, has a better number one wide receiver than Terry McLaurin. It's just true. That's why, Seth. That's why. Now, would I expect his numbers to be better than what they've been in terms of yards per reception? I would, yeah. I mean, that's fair. But there's been a lot of horizontal football, especially in the first halves. There hasn't been an opportunity to take many shots, or they haven't tried to take shots, except for one to Terry in the Tampa game. There was an opportunity off schedule for Terry in the Tampa game. And there were a couple of looks to Terry in the Giant game, but the coverage was not where Jaden wanted to go. You know, I talked specifically yesterday and kind of breaking down the offensive part or the Jaden part of the game Sunday as best as I can because I'm far from a film expert. But, you know, there was an opportunity on one of the plays he got sacked on the primary was Terry and the safety was, you know, shading in Terry's direction. And then he missed McCaffrey one-on-one with a linebacker. And then the next play was the play he got hurt on when he scrambled. And that play was a home run ball to McCaffrey if his eyes are down the field. But Terry's a good receiver. He's great for the culture. Do I expect Terry's numbers to increase in terms of yards per reception? 100%. Because there's going to be a couple of balls that are big ones to Terry McLaurin. There's going to be a matchup where he's in true man coverage and he's able to get separation against the corner. And Jaden, who throws an excellent deep ball, he does. You'll see it. And he'll hit him. Obviously, Terry's average would be far different if Jaden hadn't overthrown him in the Tampa game on the first play of the third quarter. I'm not overly concerned about 8 catches, 39 yards in 2 games with the way the games have been played. Now, if this were to hold up, that would be strange. I don't think it will. But at the same time, you're not going to end up with Terry McLaurin, you know, being in the top 10 in the league or top 15 in the league in receptions and reception yardage. He hasn't been previously, and I don't think he's going to be now. Look, it's a lot of coordinators and a lot of quarterbacks, and here we are on another coordinator and another quarterback, and nobody seems to be interested in force-feeding Terry the ball. He's not that guy. You want him to get catches. You want to see him get separation and be fed the ball, but not force-fed the ball. I think that, you know, I don't know that Terry right now on the team is going to be the guy that actually gets the most separation in terms of route running. I don't know who that is. I'm thinking it could be Noah Brown. I'm thinking it could be somebody like Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz is a pretty good route runner for a tight end. But anyway, Seth, thought-provoking, yes. Another Terry conversation. I feel like we have them all the time. But, you know, certainly the numbers to start have some people alarmed. You know, at the 8 catches for 39 yards. And, you know, we saw a rookie receiver in his second game get targeted 18 times by Daniel Jones. It's a good point. You know, it's not like, you know, they've got this juggernaut offense where they can just, you know, they Malik Nabers got drafted by a team most people would say isn't going to be able to, you know, feature him enough. Not a good enough offense, not a good enough quarterback. Well, guess what? Malik Nabers is an elite receiver. He's an elite talent. He was open all day. Part of that could be the Washington defense as well. 10 catches on 18 targets. That's not necessarily a great hit rate. But one of them was a drop, and a massive drop in the game on 4th and 4. He's going to be fun to watch, but a pain in the you-know-what to deal with for everybody else in the division.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Especially if the Giants were to get an actual quarterback.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.